go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bullard.
Hey, Ben. We're in the midst of a two-parter here, really, because we've already talked about the Phantom Rolls-Royce models and up to, what, number three, right?
Right.
And I think today we'd like to pick it up with number four. So you want to bring us up to date on that one?
Absolutely. So if you are Princess Elizabeth in 1950, then that means that you are the lucky first person to get a Rolls-Royce Phantom 4.
Yeah, the most exclusive Rolls-Royce model ever built.
I mean,
even to this day.
Yeah, you cannot really buy one.
Now, there were what, 18 of these made, right?
Yep.
Between 1950 and 1956.
And only for the swells.
Yeah, they were made for royalty and heads of state, and that was it. And of those 18, only 16 of them are around today. So they know where all of them are.
Mm-hmm.
They know what happened to all of them. I mean, I'm looking through the list here, and I'm really tempted to mention some of these, but I will quickly do it because
These have had some illustrious owners.
They really have. I mean, you mentioned Princess Elizabeth, right?
Right.
Was that for coronation maybe or something?
She was the very first.
Very first recipient.
Yeah.
Okay. They were made for sheiks and shahs, mm-hmm. and the dukes and who else? There was a general that had some. You know, he made three of them, I think, that were armored vehicles, right?
Yes.
Oh, we're talking about, hang on, I'm looking through my, General Francisco Franco of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
So he had three of them. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Armored rear ends on those things.
He needed the armor.
I would think so, yeah. And get this. This is one that stood out in my head here.
Hmm.
There was a pickup truck.
Okay, I was going to ask you about this off air, but can you explain this one to me?
You know, there's a quick note here about this, and it just says that there was an experimental truck that was used for the factory that they built, and they dismantled this thing in 1963, but it was based on the Phantom IV. So can you imagine having a Rolls-Royce Phantom IV pickup truck? How cool that would be.
Yeah, it'd be awesome because all the guys who work at the factory are saying, yeah, I had to drive the Royce down to.
That's right. I can almost picture like a military vehicle made out of that, though. I mean, I can see this in my head, what they would build. But there's good news, too, Ben.
What's that?
I was just looking on pickuptrucks.com today.
Mm-hmm.
And as of an article that was printed in March of 2012 or published 2012, there's a Phantom truck made from the current Rolls-Royce Phantom.
Yeah.
And there's also a Phantom hearse, which is awesome. They look really cool. So, and I've seen other, you know, homemade versions of these things. You know, and by
right.
homemade, I mean, you know, body shop did them, and they look
right.
respectable. They look a little silly, but I think I would really like to see this Phantom 4 pickup truck.
The original pickup truck? I can't get anything other than like a high-end El Camino out of my head.
You know, that's kind of it. I guess that's kind of it. You're right. Yeah, that's a good point.
So there's another slight pause in production there, 1956.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last year that one of these super exclusive Phantom 4s roll out. And it's not till 1959 mm-hmm. that Rolls-Royce gets back in the game with the Phantom 5.
Phantom 5, that's right. That sounds cool and everything. I don't have any specific notes on this one. But, again, there were something like very few produced. There's actually like just over 500 of these things produced.
Yep.
Again, it's back to a V8 engine at this point.
And now they've got a 4-speed automatic.
Oh, okay.
Gearbox.
All right. So that's kind of cool.
I've got a little note here.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. The Phantom 5, one Phantom 5 in particular, is considered one of the premier pieces of rock and roll history or relics. Yeah. John Lennon, who some of you may recognize as a musician of some note. I'm sorry. I was trying to be funny, but everybody knows who the Beatles are.
Everybody knows John Lennon, I think.
Right. Okay, good. So I'm not assuming.
Household name.
So he had a Phantom 5, and he painted it. They gave it a psychedelic paint job.
You know, I've seen this one.
I can just, can't you just picture the Queen getting irritated with him for doing that.
Shaking her fist like you are right now.
Yeah, shake, because that's so dignified.
Yeah, have you seen the photo of it? It's a little wacky.
Yeah.
I don't know if
it's not
like
my
it.
Style.
Not mine either, but a cool car nonetheless.
Yeah, and you know, it's his. So he could do what he would.
True.
And so they produced this till 1968.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then they went on to Phantom 6, of course, from 1968 all the way through 1991, which is a long way. That's a
very long run for Rolls-Royce.
Yeah, that's right. And you'll see these. Actually, I see quite a few of these. Maybe not, now that I look at the production number. I'm looking at the body style and looking at the production number. 374 were produced, so I'm guessing that I see a later version of this. I've seen these used for weddings. You'll see them parked outside of churches, you know, all white usually, you know, the big chrome grill.
Yeah, and these, it seems like, I feel as though I see these in films.
Yeah, that's kind of what I get the impression of, too. I mean, it seems like a very classic design, and I feel like I've seen this design more often than this number shows me here. I mean, 374 produced. I'm not looking at a kit car, I know. Maybe it's a similar design that I'm picking up on here, you know, at local churches or, you know, whatever.
They've got the suicide doors.
Limousine services.
On the Phantom 6.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah,
those.
Cool. I love suicide doors.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are so cool. What a cool touch.
It is a nice touch. We've got to talk about that. We've got to talk about that later. It comes up later. Okay, but in 1991, they stop again.
Yeah, that's right. And there's kind of a long gap in production here. Mm-hmm. This may be the longest gap in production total, because it's all the way until about 2003.
Mm-hmm.
In 2003, they brought back the Phantom design. Now, this is when, and I've got a note here, something about, you know, the Rolls-Royce, they went from being Rolls-Royce Limited to Rolls-Royce Motors, and then now they're called Rolls-Royce Motor Cars. And that is let's not get into the history of this, but it's a subsidiary of BMW. So BMW currently is the parent company of Rolls-Royce. I know some people are dying to hear that, you know, where they are now. It's a little confusing how they got there, so you'll have to look this up. In 2003, that's considered the relaunch of the Phantom, and that's actually been produced all the way up and through the present. So right now, they've got current Phantom models that you can buy. So we're talking about like 10 years now of solid production. They've changed them a little bit here and there.
Mm-hmm.
They've added, you know, the drop head coupes, which are the convertibles.
Yeah.
The coupes, of course, and there's different, you know,
there's extended wheelbase too.
Exactly, extended wheelbase, and extended wheelbase version of this thing is like 20 feet long.
Yeah, it's 23, I think.
Oh, 23?
I think. Enormous. I'm thinking of something different. It is 20 feet.
20 feet long. That's an enormous car. That's a huge vehicle for the extended wheelbase version of the Phantom.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, they're still, you know, as luxurious as ever. But they are getting up into the luxury sports car type. I don't know. I feel like it's a luxury sports car.
On the engine alone.
Yeah, exactly. So they're definitely a performance car as well.
One interesting thing here, the BMW parent company has set a limit on the total number of Phantoms they will produce.
Really?
Yes.
Didn't hear this.
10,000. Now, at the rate that Rolls-Royce has historically produced vehicles, they're not going to hit this anytime soon.
Okay.
Because in 2007, early 2007, they had just broken 3,000.
Oh, okay. So they're not really in danger of.
Yeah, this is not like a act now thing where you have to turn off the podcast and run to the dealership.
not that dramatic, right?
Right. And let's see. Now, we've gone through these historic models all the way up to our current one. And now I was wondering, I know I kind of bulldozed you, man, and I do apologize. What if I don't want to go to a dealer? Let's say I want to buy one of these online.
Online? Really?
Is that possible?
You know what? It's actually possible. I went to Craigslist just this morning, early on, and I was looking. I was just curious. You know, I'm not going to buy a Rolls-Royce, obviously. But now that I look at some of these numbers, maybe.
Are you serious?
No, 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 no. I wouldn't buy it. And the reason is the maintenance would be my issue. But if you look at Rolls-Royce listings on Craigslist, you'd be surprised at what you'd find. I'll just list a couple of them here. I've got maybe four of them that I can mention here.
Okay.
And these were remarkable prices. And, of course, they go way, way up from here.
Okay.
This is kind of the low end. But I'll tell you, they're in decent, drivable, clean condition. Not museum condition by any means, but mm-hmm. You'd be proud to own these cars. If I mean, just looking at the photos.
Okay.
1985 Silver Spur, $18,500.
Are you serious?
Not bad, huh?
That's not bad at all.
1975, didn't give a model, but $15,500. 1976 Silver Shadow, $12,000 in the Pittsburgh area.
Oh, someone's already sold that.
Maybe, but it was – no, it was for sale this morning.
Or someone died in there and you can't get the smell out. Something's...
A 1967 Silver Shadow for $19,000.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, the photos look really nice. But you know what those cars remind me of is the type, and I've got to just get this out there.
Get it out.
And this is not the movie club thing that we're doing, you know, like this. But do you remember the movie Caddyshack?
Yes.
There were two Rolls-Royce cars in Caddyshack that were pretty cool. First, Judge Smales owned one. He was Ted Knight. Remember, he drove a 1972 Silver Shadow that was brown.
He did, didn't
so
he?
So that's kind of the model that we're talking about here for sale for, like, you know, under $20,000. And then you remember Rodney Dangerfield? Al Chervik. He drove a 1963 Silver Cloud that was red. It had, it was convertible. He drove it right out onto the course.
Yeah.
What did it play? We're in the Money on the horn was something like that, right?
Yeah.
I think it was, yeah. Anyways, it was a couple of vehicles. They made a lot of appearances in movies, things like mm-hmm. that. I don't know. I got one last quick thing that I want to mention before we go too much farther.
Sure.
I think we're almost done here, by the way.
Yeah, I've got a couple of surprises for
the Hoot Ornament.
Yes.
The Hoot Ornament, the Spirit of Ecstasy. This is kind of a unique thing because there's a modern version of this now.
Right.
Originally, you know, not originally, but long, long time ago, so this is after the death of Rolls.
Mm-hmm.
They actually created a sculptor create the Hoot Ornament. Which is pretty remarkable. It's called the Spirit of Ecstasy. That's the model that adorns the hood of every Rolls Royce now.
Heck of a name, too.
Yeah, really cool. The Spirit of Ecstasy. And you can find these in desktop models or whatever. In addition to, you know, just having the Hoot Ornaments. It's been the symbol of Rolls Royce since 1911. And now they still have them on the cars, and sometimes you might see one that's parked in a parking lot, and you'll see that it's missing. There's a blank there. There's a silver piece that fits where this normally would be, and you'd think, oh, they've either lost it or they're just not, you know, someone's stolen it,
right?
Or they're not building it with this anymore. Well, it turns out these are now controlled by a switch within the cabin that raises and lowers the Spirit of Ecstasy on your hood. And if you haven't seen it yet,
mm-hmm.
take a look online. You can see plenty of videos of this happening. I saw a couple of them where they're broken, and people were still amazed by it because it was still popping out, but it was all, you know, clunky.
Sure.
But it's a very smooth operation when it's working correctly. It retracts and extends mechanically. You know, with the switch inside, which is, I think, a really cool feature because when you park it, you know, you can just flip the switch and have this thing retract and, you know, mm-hmm. it's safe below the – because I think that's a coveted piece.
Oh, yeah. People could easily steal it.
I mean, like, you know, just like the grill, which is much harder to run away with, but the grill is an iconic symbol of Rolls-Royce, as is the Spirit of Ecstasy, and this is just a way to protect it.
Couple of weird things before we go out.
Yes.
First off, you're making me feel like I'm Moriarty and you're Sherlock. Touche, my friend. you beat me to the punch. You scooped me on that hearse.
Oh, did
which
I?
Is so cool. Yeah, it's the hearse that's 23 feet.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I'm shuffling with my notes here a little bit, but the hearse was custom built, you know, as most hearses are. Tune into our show about hearses to hear about that. But there are some neat facts about that I wanted to tell you when I find this piece of paper.
That's okay. You know, I didn't mean to scoop you on that.
Oh, no.
It was just something that, you know, in recent news, and I was looking up the pickup truck originally, and mm-hmm. of course they have this photo of this really cool hearse. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know why we're so drawn to those things. They're such neat vehicles, and if they're done the right way, it just makes such a neat kind of cruising car, you know.
Yes. Okay, so I've got some stats on it. It's the Phantom Hearst B12, like the vitamin. Mm. No, they didn't say that. I said that. So it's got a V12 engine, self-leveling air suspension, entirely made from aluminum. And here's the weird part. It's still a four-door. And the article that mentions this is so funny. It says that it includes the name Suicide Doors, although that is inappropriate.
Oh, boy.
This is made by a custom hearse builder, BIEMME, so Beam Special Cars.
Okay.
And they end on one question. The ride we'd certainly choose as our last, only one ominous question remains. Do you really want to head into the afterlife in a car called a Phantom?
Hmm.
Which, you know, is neat, but still, what a way to go out in style. Maybe I sound a bit materialistic.
You know what? The names of Rolls-Royce cars, I mean, if you look back at them, they're the Silver Ghost. Mm-hmm. There's the, there's
Silver Shadow.
The Silver Shadow. There's the Wraith. Which is a Scottish word for ghost.
Yes.
I don't know. They've always kind of clung to that type of name before. You know, I've got a few others listed here, but Silver Cloud and Silver Dawn and Wraith and Silver Spirit. They've always had names that are kind of otherworldly, I guess. Is that a good way to say it?
That's a good way.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, but
something ethereal, a bit supernatural.
A bit.
And then so one last thing for everybody saying, hey, guys, you sold us with your fanboy podcast about Rolls-Royce. Where can I buy one? Oh, but wait, I need body armor on my car because people are trying to kill me. Well, don't worry, because you can also get a Rolls-Royce Phantom with body armor. Consider the Rolls-Royce Phantom Solid Gold by Stuart Hughes. For the low, low price of $8.2 million.
Wait. You said solid gold and $8.2 million. Is that right?
Yeah. It has headlights and stuff. It's not a sculpture.
Okay.
It's got an engine. It includes 120 kilograms of solid 18-karat gold. This is fully armored. They've fired Kalashnikovs at it. They've thrown hand grenades at it, and it made it through the fire. It took about 18 months to complete and then was shipped off to, get this, Scott, an anonymous businessman in the Middle East.
Hmm. My guess was a sheik.
You know,
I'm feeling that I'm still correct.
For the movie factor alone, I kind of wished it was a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
But
I feel there's an oil sheik in the picture here somewhere.
Yeah, and he is protected. So you guys can contact Stuart Hughes, I imagine, if you would like to get a customized Rolls-Royce.
Yeah.
But
if that one from the dealership just isn't fancy enough, mm-hmm. you need to add, 1,800 kilograms of solid gold to your car armoring.
Got to have the solid gold, because otherwise people might not know that you are wealthy while you're driving your Rolls-Royce.
True. Yeah. Just in case there's a question.
So Middle East, of course, also home of the most expensive license plate, too. Right?
Oh.
We covered that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's number one everybody who's wondering.
They do it big there.
All right. Let's see here, Mr. Benjamin. Bob writes to us on Facebook, and Bob is responding to our Toll Roads podcast.
Okay.
He says, I listened to the Toll Roads podcast today, and I thought I'd share my experience. In 1992, I took a trip around the eastern half of the United States. I started from western Nebraska and traveled as far south as Plains, Georgia, and north into Maine. After paying what I thought was highway robbery on various toll roads, I decided I would not pay for the New Jersey Turnpike. I drove from Philadelphia to New York City. You're smiling. You already know
way to take a stand. That's
where
good.
This is going to go. Mm-hmm. On the finger quote, free roads of Jersey. It was an adventure I would never want to repeat. It took forever, and driving a VW Fox with manual transmission, I nearly wore out my left leg. Later, when I was going out to Long Island, I ended up in the correct change lane on the bridge by mistake. The lady at the toll booth was of no help. The guy behind me waved to me, and I gave him $5. He gave me the correct change. I don't know what the exact change needed was, but I still think it was the best $5 spent on the trip. I now see toll roads as having some good, but can't stand driving on one where the road upkeep is worse than the normal free roads.
Yes.
You're on the same page with him?
I am on the same page as him. I would also, you know, divert around some roads that are exceedingly expensive, mm-hmm. but then you quickly realize, like, I should have just stayed where I was.
Yeah, I've heard that too. First, Bob, thanks so much for writing in to us. And secondly, this is something that we've also heard of when people say, you know, this Jersey Turnpike is tyrannical. I'm going to take a stand and drive. One of my friends actually told me that when he busted his tire on the free roads, that because he didn't carry a spare like a genius, it cost him more than it would have just to drive on the turnpike.
Oh, boy.
Which, you know, neither here nor there. But
but it's tough to reach into your wallet and pull out, you know, lots of money to pay just to drive on, for the privilege to drive on a road from to somewhere that you're going to be headed anyways, when you know you can just go slightly off of that route and take a free road.
And I would love to hear about some free routes. I wonder if you get a pass if you go up in a Rolls Royce. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not. They might charge you more.
That's right. Yeah, unfortunately.
So we're going to go ahead and wrap up on our podcast about Rolls-Royce Phantoms. We hope that you guys enjoyed it as much as we do. Please write to us if you have a Rolls-Royce or a story to share about them. You can find us on Facebook. You can drop us a line on Twitter. And as always, we read our email. Feel free to send one to us at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.